ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
नारायणं नमस्कृत्य सरस्वतीं व्यासं
ततोजयमुदीरये
नस्तपयसु अवतरेषु नित्यं भगवते सेवया भगवते उत्तमश्लोके Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, The Creation of the Fourth Order, Chapter 23, Maharaj Prithu's Going Back Home, Text 34. Apastakitihi
Apastakitihi
Suryashaha
Suryashaha
Murkaha
Murkaha
Bhavati
Bhavati
Pandita
Swasti
Ayanam
Pumsam
Amangalya
Nibaranam
Aspasta Kirti Suryasa
Aspasta
Kirti Suryasa
Murko
bhavati panditaha
Idam swasti ayanam
pumsam
Idam swasti ayanam pumsam
Amangalya nivaranam Aspashta Kirti Suryasa Murko Bhavati Pandita Idam Swasti Ayanam Pumsam Amangalya Nivaranam Aspashta Kirti
Unmanifested reputation.
Suryashaha.
Very
famous. Murkaha.
Illiterate.
Bhavati. Becomes. Panditaha. Learned. Idam.
This.
Swasti ayanam.
Auspiciousness.
Pumsam
of the
men,
Amangalya,
inauspiciousness, Nibaranam,
prohibiting.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada ki translation. Also, one who hears this narration three times will become very reputable if he is not recognized in society, and he will become a great scholar if he is illiterate. In other words, hearing of the narrations of Prithu Maharaj is so auspicious that it drives away all bad luck. Please repeat. Also,
one hears this
narration
three times
will become very reputable.
He is not recognized in society.
And he will become
a great scholar
if he is illiterate.
In other words,
hearing of the narrations of Prithu Maharaj,
it's so auspicious
that it drives away all bad luck.
Purport.
In the material world, everyone wants some profit, some adoration, and some reputation. By associating different ways with the Supreme Personality of Godhead or His devotee, one can very easily become opulent in every aspect. Even if one is not known or recognized by society, he becomes very famous and important if he takes to devotional service and preaching. As far as education is concerned, one can become recognized in society as a great learned scholar simply by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, wherein the pastimes of the Lord and His devotees are described. This material world is full of dangers at every step. But a devotee has no fear because devotional service is so auspicious that it automatically counteracts all kinds of bad luck. Since hearing about Prithu Maharaj is one of the items of devotional service, Shravanam, naturally hearing about him brings all good fortune. Hare Krishna. Is it school holidays? No. Wow. Special souls. It's nice to see children coming and reciting Bhagavad Slokas like that. Good job. Yeah. And I saw him really, you know, wanting to chant the Slokas. He was like, I want to chant, you know, like that. That's good. It's actually what we are all trying to do, get a taste about it. Here you see the little children, when they expose, automatically it comes naturally. It's a natural thing in their hearts. This section actually starts from verse 31, 30. Let me see. It starts from actually 31 to 39, in the end of the chapter. It's all about benedictions in studying about Prithu Maharaj, about his life, about his deeds, about his devotion practically. I think it's called Shruti Phala. You know, when you listen to such discussions in the scriptures, the personalities who are speaking, in this case, I believe it's Maitreya Muni, right? Yeah. So Maitreya Muni, he is giving this benediction. All he has heard it and he is now sharing it with others. So he's passing on what he understands and he's passing on this grace or the mercy that he had achieved. So he's giving to whoever wants to listen to this wonderful glories of Prithu Maharaj. Not only that, in fact the whole Bhagavatam, in one sense, you can say the whole Bhagavatam is giving benediction. Not just one chapter or two chapters here or there. Whole chapter, any chapter you take, there is blessings. Even the prayers of Queen Bhakti, she says, let the calamities come. Of course, we can't pray for that, we're not at that level. But the point is, when calamities come, then she's saying you have to turn to Krishna. So she's giving us a benediction that we can also turn to Krishna. So Shruti Phala is sometimes obvious for people who need to know it clearly. And those people are actually materially motivated. They're not truly devotees, but they may accept Krishna. Or they may think, okay, I will pray. But essentially, they are not really interested in pursuing devotional service. They are more interested in what I can get out of these things. There's something that I can get out of it. So I want something from it. So for those kind of people, the scripture is very tricky in that way. It entices them by dangling a carrot in front of the horse, so to speak. And so you can see here also, he's saying, oh, you can get this. You can get to be a great person in society. No? Who doesn't want fame, recognition, and adoration, right? Everybody in this material world wants those kind of things. If somebody comes and says, oh, Prabhu, you're so nice, and then they feel so good, you know. For the rest of the day, they say, I'm good, you know. They say, no, they all say that was good, right? So, it is part of our existence. We are all living entities who want to be loved, who want to be cajoled and put up and be made to think that we are valuable, which in one sense, yes, because we are all servants of Krishna. So in that sense, yes, we all should be praised properly, and our sense of devotion should be enhanced and pushed along the way. And so it's okay. But the limit should be that, just like, you know, when the children do something good, we praise them. And if they don't do anything properly, we chastise them or we correct them. So in the same way, for people who are very hard to correct and hard to, or they don't want to listen, then this section, particularly here, they give you all these nice carrots, or maybe gulab jamuns, for devotees, like that. And you find that if this is not given, then most often than not, the average person who reads the Bhagavatam may skip these chapters and they will go straight to the Krishna's Leela, Rasa Dhanas, things like that. But when they read such things like, well, I can get this, what else do I need in my life? Or I need to have many good children, you know. I want to be the famous king, I want to be Brahminical, I want to have good wives, all these things. So those kind of people will say, yeah, this is good, I think I want to read this. So they might read this, right? So they read it one time, do you think they're going to get benefit after reading once? Something might trigger. In reading the Bhagavad and in not looking at it as a devotion, what do you get? What kind of reactions is that? Yeah, it's like pious activity. It's like pious activity. So what kind of pious credits will they get? Okay, in one sense you're right, heavenly planet, but it's like if they do it over many lifetimes, it is actually Abhyata Sukriti. To get real faith, actually to get faith, to accept Krishna as the Supreme Lord, and to worship Sri Krishna in the manner in which the Prabhupada wants us to develop, takes many, many lifetimes. And sometimes we are all sitting here thinking, have I gone through many lifetimes doing that? It's possible. But more often than not, I think most of us are here out of Prabhupada's and the devotees' mercy. One time his disciples were saying, Srila Prabhupada, you know, you say we have to do many pious activities before we take up the process, but most of us are drunkards and drug addicts, you know, all kinds of things. You know, what pious activities have been done? And he said, you have no pious activity. Then he said, I created your pious activity. So the mercy of the devotee is very, very important. It is more important to please the devotee and then to get their mercy so that we can have an inkling in our hearts to develop a love, or the love not only to devotees but to Sri Krishna himself. Or in another sense, people only want to develop love of Godhead, but they don't care about the devotees. But that's not our process. Our process is actually to love the devotees, and in loving, we love the Supreme Lord inclusively, like that. Krishna Anusilanam. The Krishna there refers to not only Krishna, it also refers to his His avatars, his expansions, plenary portions, his paraphernalia, kartas, all that including devotees. So therefore, when we practice Krishna consciousness, we have to be very, very alert and aware that we are dealing with devotees or souls who are actually very dear to the personality of Godhead. So in studying Prithu Maharaja's life, in the first time you may read, you get some information, right? Something you get. Second time you read, then you say, I missed that very interesting portion. So you get some more knowledge. And as you keep reading, then it will actually purify your heart at the same time. There are five things Rupa Goswami says which are very powerful elements in devotional practice that raises one to pure devotional platform. Do you know that?
Yeah.
One is?
Strong faith. Strong faith?
No, five elements. I mean, faith is part of it. You have to have Shraddha before you can come to performing devotional
practice.
Yes, devotee association, someone said chanting. Yes, reading Srimad Bhagavatam. What else? Living in the holy dham. And deity worship. So if you can do all of them, or at least one or two of them very nicely, you should develop pure love of God. So one of them is Srimad Bhagavatam. And therefore, I'm very happy to see these children listening to Bhagavatam classes. Because you got to get it as soon as you can, the desire to develop pure devotion service. Otherwise, you'll be going through many lifetimes. You don't know. Most of us don't know. We may have been initiated, we may have been practicing somewhat. Yeah, we may be doing something well, but we don't know, because it's up to Krishna. It's up to Him. The prerogative is with Him. He decides whether we go back to Godhead or not. It's not like you say, I've done my 16 rounds, so Krishna, take me back. Oh, I've done so many books, you know. Oh, I memorized the whole chapter of Bhagavad Gita, so Krishna, you know, what more do you want? So it's actually, it's up to Krishna. He sees our devotion unfailing. Prabhupada writes many places in the Bhagavad Gita, in the Srimad Bhagavatam and so on, that we actually come to a point where we can actually purchase Krishna. That means we have the love, and therefore He cannot run away. In general, if you worship Krishna, He'll give you all kinds of things. Automatically, He'll give you. You find that if you perform pure devotional service from the beginning very nicely, during your sadhana practice, two things happen. What are they? Kleshagni and Shubhada. So, Kleshagni means all your inos, not inauspicious. All the past sinful activities and karma in your life is slowly taken away. It's been nullified. The reactions are nullified. Whatever is manifested, you can't change. If you're ugly, too bad. You know, just live with it. But you perform Krishna consciousness activities. You love, you do that, you know. Yeah, that's a fact. Why you laugh? So that's Kleshagni. And then you find relief. You find relief in your practice of Krishna consciousness. You find that it's a joy, actually. You find you are happy to come to Mangalarati. Yeah. Oftentimes, devotees have one of the hardest things, I believe, in Krishna consciousness is Mangalarati. It's actually straightforward, right? You look at it, get up, come to Arati, you know? But it's one of the hardest things. You find, you go through many, many temples as I travel. This is the hardest thing. But Prabhupada writes in the Nectar of Devotion as well as in other places that to actually develop this firm faith and to come in front of the deities and to declare that I am a Jiva Atma, Mangalarati is necessary. Yeah. You give up that pride in you give up that lethargy the enthusiasm creeps in, and then you are able to boldly say, "My Lord, I'm here. I'm here to take your darshan. You know, I'm not here." In most temples, Gaudiya's are standing there and say, "Hey, nobody is here today. You know, we are giving darshan today." Oh, I can take darshan on my devotees. Like that. But in many temples, it's like here, I was amazed and I'm very happy to see so many devotees at Mangalarati. I was telling Sukadeva Prabhu, "Wow, it's so nice, you know." Incidentally, almost 30 years ago, I took my first initiation here, right there. I was sitting here, and then Keshava, you know Keshava, was sitting next to me, and then another god sister, Ananda Manjari. Three of us took initiation. And then at that time, Jayatirtha Charan Prabhu was the head pujari. Yeah, he was doing that. And Balaram was the TP, and Anirudha Prabhu was the vice president. Oh, he was in the transition at that time. So that's almost 30 years. Then, almost 20 years ago, I came with my spiritual master again. And then now I see them again. Been a long time. I had wanted to come here, but some other couldn't. But 2 years ago, I met Anirudha and Chinchurupa Mataji in Vrindavan, and they say, "Why aren't you coming here? Why aren't you coming here?" I got caught up, you know. So I said, "All right, I'll plan that." And so this year, I managed to come. Yeah, and I'm glad I came. The only thing is, I don't like my Melbourne, it's too cold. And it's during this period, you know. And whenever I travel with my Guru Maharaj, we used to come here during winter time. So it was always freezing, kind of my butt away, you know. So that was it, yeah. So this section is all about Shruti Phala. And in this purport, Srila Prabhupada talks about how if you want to be recognized in society, you can become famous doing a few of the activities, right? If you do a lot of books, you become famous in ISKCON, right? Your name is boldly emblazoned in the web pages of ISKCON book distribution, right? Yeah, I did bold. And then you'll always log on to see if your name is still there. So it's like that. So you become recognized, then you go to each temple, people say this is the biggest book distributor, and then you feel, wow, it's so good, you know, like that. It's a challenge because Krishna consciousness will give you this phala, but you have to control your ego. It's a challenge. But in association with devotees, your ego is slowly chopped away. Right? It is. You're laughing, but it's true. The example they gave is you take many stones and put it in a bag, right? They're all rough in the beginning, but you keep, you know, carrying it around for a few years, they will all be smooth. Just like your beads, right? Have a look at your beads, how smooth is it, right? Take a look at your beads, look at them, so smooth. Very nice, after a few years. In the first day when you get, after your guru gives, it's a bit rough, and then you try to do some funny things, right? Some people say soak in oil, some people say, you know, take some sandpaper and grind it away, stuff like that. During my time. I think they've matured far enough now, and also, you know, ambitious. You know. Really, during my time, they'll say, soak it in linseed oil, you know, and then let it dry out, and then you'll have a... It gives a nice color, but at the same time, your beads will become so heavy, you know, about like a kilo away. So don't do that. You don't have to do that. You just chant, and through your chanting, your beads will become smooth and nice. Like that. That's a sidetrack, but in any case, Shruti Phalas, education, you can see many temples are organizing different programs to educate the devotees. How many of you read at least 1 hour a day? Good for you. Srila Prabhupada wanted us to read, you know. In fact, many times he writes a letter to the temple presidents or what, and he says, He would like the devotees to have at least 1 hour in the morning and 1 hour in the evening, Shastra studies. It's important for us, so that why? Well, one of the reasons for studying the scripture. Come on, you know it. Just
Shastra
Chakshu. Seen through the eyes of Shastra, okay? What else?
You can fight against Maya.
You can fight against Maya. You can, that's a good answer. Because whatever you hear and study in within the confines of a devotee, you may have an idea, but it may not be completely gelled in your activities and so on. By reading, it reinforces why you're following the principles, why you're doing certain activities, why you're taking prasadam. I hope all of you are eating prasadam, not store-bought food. Right? Yeah, if you do, you're a nonsense. Yeah. Don't, because if you eat store-bought food, then your consciousness will be waylaid. And then you will develop materialistic intentions and desires. I'm not joking, most of the problems in our movement is because many of the devotees are not eating prasadam. In the beginning days, I remember devotees, they do traveling sanyutta, they'll go outside the supermarket, they'll take their Brahmin chat and they'll stand outside and they say, I'm offering everything in the supermarket. That's not nonsense, you know. So many of the problems we encounter is because not lacking strictness. But when we preach Srila Prabhupada's purport, you are given the ability to build up strength, the ability to understand that this is important, this is very significant for me in my life. Then you make the proper adjustment and changes accordingly. Otherwise, you will pursue something that is not good for you. Just like the devotees, many years ago, they were doing traveling sankirtan, but they were doing paintings. Right? I believe some devotees still do that. So they were very good. They'll go out and by the weekend, one boy and one girl, they would do like 50,000-60,000 easily, just selling paintings like that. So both of them thought they are very good, so they decided to get married. And so they got married, and hopefully they lived happily ever after. But that's not how it ends. So they decided that since they are married, they need their own griha, home, stuff like that. But then they told the temple president, no, we won't give all the money. You know, we'll give you some portion of the money. So the temple president said, but you know, the temple needs the money. He said, no, okay. So then they went out on paintings. Guess what? They couldn't even sell one or two paintings. So you can't take advantage of whatever is given by Krishna for your own sense gratification. Because Krishna loves you so much, he may give you some nice punishment like that. Yeah. Put you in a difficult situation. Then you understand. And they were wondering, how is that? We were so successful and now we are not so successful. It's because the Lord, as he gives, so he can withdraw. Just like creation, srishti, pralaya, absorption, like that. So he has that ability. So similarly, we should use whatever phala that we get in the service of Krishna. Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe. It's very important. No matter what you do, always ask yourself, am I connecting with Krishna? You know, whatever you do in your life, it doesn't matter whether it's work related or Krishna conscious, devotional, service related, you should always ask yourself, am I connecting with Krishna today? You know, am I doing it for my own benefit or am I just connecting with... It's a good practice to ask, because that's what you are doing here. This is the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is for us to develop Krishna consciousness. It's not so much that, you know, everybody is happy, you're okay, I'm okay, hey, cool man, you know, leave me alone, you know. It's not like that. This is not our philosophy, right? So education, whatever benefits you get, that benefit you have to see always. It's coming from Krishna. How can I use it in Krishna's service? So if you're good at memorizing verses and shlokas, use it to preach. Not to show off to others. Not to show off your devotee friend who cannot memorize. Don't do that. It's not good for you, not good for the devotee. So you discourage them sometimes. So don't do all those things. Whatever you have, always you see and try to recognize how I am connecting with Krishna. It's very important. Just like as you are doing those ghee wicks, are you thinking, will this be suitable for the aarti for Krishna? You may not be thinking. You're just thinking, let me get it out of the way. See, these are small things. We don't pay attention. You know? We don't realize these things. It becomes like a chore, and then that's the end of it. But now that I've said that, you have to consider that from now on. Am I doing it for Krishna? Am I really doing it for Krishna? You may think, well, you know, he's just saying it. But there's an example. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to South India, there was a Brahmana, right, who he met, who was trying to read Bhagavad Gita. Why? Yes, because the spiritual master said. But what was he trying to do? He was putting the Bhagavad Gita upside down, this way, that way. And all the other learned Brahmanas looked at him and started making fun of him, laughed at him. And Mahaprabhu was watching him for a while and said, no, this guy has something going on, you know. He said, what are you doing? He said, I am doing this. Why are you, I don't know ABC, but I'm somehow trying to read. And I don't know, I look at the picture and that's all I can see, Krishna and the chariot, you know, like that. And then Mahaprabhu said, what do you feel? And he said, every time I look and I try to read, I only think of Krishna and the chariot holding the reins for his devotee. This is so wonderful. How can the Supreme Lord do it? I am so amazed. And then he starts crying in ecstasy. So Mahaprabhu said, that is the essence of the Bhagavad Gita. You already understood the meaning. Whereas they all say, learned Brahmanas who can quote everything don't know anything actually. Huh? So don't become learned but not learned. Okay? Don't use that. Don't be a pandit. But you end up being a bandit. You know? Because you're stealing from Krishna the fame. Right? You become famous when you become so good at all these things, and people put you up on a pedestal and they dance with you, you know. But then it's for Krishna that we have to do it. It's for them. Shushi Dharavan is so beautiful, you know. Very beautiful. I remember when I first came, I was like, wow, so beautiful. Very beautiful, yeah. After 20 years, they look really, really beautiful. I'll come a few more times to have their darshan, you know, before we leave the body, hopefully, by their mercy. Yeah. So one of the other things you will get in performing devotional service, or you know, just not just Maharaj Prithu's section, any section in the Bhagavatam, if you read and if you truly appreciate it and you use it to practice in your life, you'll become abhaya, fearless. We are all fearful because of
death.
Huh?
Death.
Not really. We are, yeah, I mean, you're right. And what is the reason we are fearing death? Because we? Yeah, we identify with the body. And the body is temporary, right? And so we don't want to give up the body. Why is that? Because we are eternal souls. We live forever. Therefore, we want to live forever. Not knowing due to avidya and ignorance, we think we are going to live forever. Or we want to live forever. But we can't. Every day you look in the mirror, you're looking more and more older, right? Or uglier. Like that. It is a fact. You can't change that. But what can you change? Your consciousness. Your consciousness to develop, to love the lotus feet, to perform service. If you find it difficult to connect with Krishna, connect with his devotees. That's why this temple is here. Yeah, that's why we are trying to do service together. Through the association and through their blessings, Krishna will reveal himself to you. Very nicely, you know, everybody wants to look at Krishna. Everybody wants to say, I have seen Krishna. I dream about Krishna. Like that. So those are nice things. But really, you know, when we understand devotional service, the greatest thing that you can do is you realize you are suffering and you realize others are also suffering. So you want to elevate their suffering. And that's why the Sankirtan movement is all about. That's why Mahaprabhu came. This is called the Mahaprabhu Mandir. So you know, should go out and conquer. Don't be afraid. Like that. It's 8:32 now. I think I'll stop, right? Enough speaking, you know. Quit while you're ahead, they say. Any comments, questions, or additions, corrections, feel free to do so. Yeah. Yes.
Is the shloka for Rajiva saying about the five processes that Sanatan goes? Swami was saying about how to get bhakti.
Yes, it's in the nectar of devotion.
Is the shloka for it? Sadhu Sangha Nama Kirtan Bhagavata Shavan Mathura.
Is that the shloka? Mathura Vas, yes. This guy is a pandit here, no? Yeah, very good. Very good. Do you chant 16 rounds? Why not?
17.
How old are you?
9.
9 years old. So you should chant at least 4 rounds. How many you do?
Right now I'm doing 2.
2? Do 4. Yeah, do 4. Actually for students and so on, you should do at least minimum 4. Until you graduate, then you do 16. Right? But on holidays you should do?
6.
How many? Double. 8. Okay? Then you can play after that. Right? You said it in front of the ladies, you know. Right? If it doesn't, then the ladies will walk out like Sakshi Gopal, you know. Say, no, you promise. So you should do. Since you already know slokas, better to chant. This, our Yuga Dharma is chanting, huh?
Yes.
So we should chant. So the more you chant, the better, you know? Yeah. Slokas and all is good, but it's good for preaching purpose. Yeah. Yeah. To convince people, look, this is in the scripture, this is what it says, and then they will, oh, okay, yeah. It's authoritative, that's why we quote the slokas. Yeah. To make a point that this is there, you know? Don't worry, I'm not so good at slokas. Mm-hmm. Oh wow, yeah. You're going back to Bali this time. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, why not? But we have to see when you turn 16. We'll have to see. Usually that's the critical stage when the devotees, kids. We've seen that, you know, many times in the US. After 16, tough, very tough. Yeah. But if they have taste now, probably they'll come back. Yeah. Even if they leave, which we have seen also. Yeah. Yeah. So it's good to bring them to the temple. You know, you encourage other parents also, but don't force the parents. Don't show up that your kid comes and they don't come. But just encourage them. Tell them it's good for them. Yeah. Yeah. And you kids should encourage other kids also. Right? You tell them you come and get the mercy. Of Mahaprabhu, of Sri Sri Radhavala, Jagannabhanadi Subhadra. Actually, I was in Puri just before coming here. I was there for the Rathi Yatra. Wow. So, it's an experience of lifetime. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe I'll tell you tomorrow about that. Yeah. Anything else that you want to add? Yes, Prabhu?
We talked about five important things So in verse 5 or in relation to verse 5, what about chanting Hare Krishna, eating prasad, serving, where do they fit in those?
Chanting is there in one of the five. Those eating prasad are all corollaries, that means they are supportive functions for doing these five main activities. Men cannot live with chanting alone. He needs to eat prasad. Right? Who doesn't like prasadam? Look, we have to give up all sense gratification. The only thing I have is prasadam. And if you take away that, go, man, I'm back up and low, man. Really, honestly. I look forward to my prasadam. What else is there? Right? Apart from kirtan, dressing the babies, you know, reading the scripture, right? Prasadam is very important for us. So a prasadam must be cooked very nicely. Don't cook bad prasadam. That's technology. Overwhelmed by technology. get good cooks, train people. How old are you guys, boys? Huh? How old are you?
Eight.
Eight and a half?
Nine.
So, all of you get ready to start learning how to cook. Mothers, you should learn, teach them. Alright? You should know how to cook. I'm not joking. You have. Boys should know how to cook. There's no such thing as only girls. So, both girls and boys, you should train them. Then they don't have to depend on the wife. And then, if the wife can't cook, they go to Govindas. If Govindas is good cooks and good sadhana devotees, then it's okay. Otherwise, it's not good. So you all should learn how to cook. You should know how to cook. If I come next year, I'm going to ask you what you can cook. Yeah, all of you. Yeah. I personally myself was cooking at the age of 9. So I've been cooking for 51 years now. And you don't need to worry about people. They don't want to cook, no problem. You know, just give me the kitchen and the ingredients. I can offer the lot and I'm happy. So all the men should know how to cook, you know. If your wife gets angry with you, then you cry. You know? So if you learn to cook, you don't have to worry one thing. At least you can cook and offer the babies, you know. So yes.
I was saying so true.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we should. You know. It's look, cooking is an intimate service. All right, don't think it's any fool can do. No, Srimati Radharani is the best cook. So learn how to cook. Cook nicely. Teach others. You know, when Prabhupada taught Yamuna Mataji, he said, "You don't keep the recipes to yourself. Teach others." So she cooked and taught so many people. She became world famous. That's one of the things. Became world famous cook. She produced the book Krishna's Cuisine, or Kitchen. Two books actually. Lord Krishna's Cuisine. You know, it's a famous book. It's a big book. If you can get it, purchase it, because it goes out of print often. You know, and so many wonderful pastimes are in there. Her relation with Srila Prabhupada. And you all should, everyone should know how to do those activities. So that's very nice. So yeah, cooking is an intimate service. Just like in those old days, the Vedic times, not all the time, in some places, when the chef, they cook, they bring the boga to the, or the prasad to the king will say, "You taste this." Because he wants to make sure it's not poisoned. So therefore it's a very intimate service. So when you cook for Krishna, you cook in a clear consciousness, in cleanliness, you cook, you offer them, and you hope that they are very pleased with your service. It's a service. It's that you're offering them. So learn how to cook. Actually, Prabhupada, I was told by one Prabhupada disciple that Prabhupada wanted his devotees to know three things. Know how to lead a kirtan, know how to play the mridanga, lead kirtan, know the shastra, and know how to cook. So these three things. So if you know these three things, you can go anywhere and start a new center, yeah, and preach. Yeah. So therefore, you must inculcate this form of education in this community or anywhere you go, so that any one of them can become future preachers, yeah, for the benefit of society. Yeah. And by benefiting society, they will benefit. Yeah. Like that. Alright. Anything else? Yes, Prabhu.
So, Prabhu, in the Prabhupada, it's mentioned that 100 years this past time, all the misfortunes go away. So how do we understand when we see devotees going through
difficulties? Yeah. Well, it's just like the Pandavas, right? Why are they going through difficulties? What do you think?
So that we can learn from
Learn from their problems, huh? Well, that's one thing. Yeah, true. You learn from a devotee, a pure devotee is one who can show us that in whatever circumstances they are always able to take the devotional service, irregardless of their situation. Yeah. So they are showing for us how that our situation may not be as dramatic or as terrible as their situation is, that we shouldn't give up the worship of Krishna. Now sometimes you say a devotee is going through disease, dying and so on, maybe it's because they have finished pleasing Krishna and Krishna is saying, time to wrap up, I want you in Goloka with me. So you may not know, externally you are thinking all their suffering, you know, but they may be going through ecstasy. I'm not joking, a god sister of mine was dying like that, she had cancer and she was dying. But in the last days, when we were there chanting for her, many times she would do like that. You know? Then we asked her, why are you doing that? She said, Krishna Balarama in front of me. Yeah, these are devotees, initiated devotees. Yeah. But yeah, she was suffering tremendous pain. So we are thinking, you know, why devotees have to go through that. So my Guru Maharaj said, His Holiness Ramakrishna Goswami, he said that, you know, you go to Krishna on your own, don't let him come and drag you. Yeah. So do the service nicely, do very well, because devotional service is automatically auspicious. Okay? So even if you get disease or anything, you know it's for your well-being. That's the reason why we go through difficulties, right? Tateno tampunsu samikshamana munjane vakam vipakam, right? When Brahma prays to Krishna, he's saying, you know, I don't mind all these difficulties because I know at the end, if I go through all this karmic reaction, I know that if I do my devotional service, I will have your shabda. Yeah. So that is a consciousness of the devotee. He or she will understand the difficulties are my own makings, right? We all suffering one way or another is through our own makings. Even when we relate to devotees and we have a difference, if you analyze, one or the other person must have said something stupid, you know. It is. And if you are intelligent, you will go back and take the humble position. It's the best way. Once you say, oh, I made the mistake, the whole burden is gone. Even if you didn't make the mistake, if you take the blame, you feel better. You feel joyous. You'll be dancing after that. But if you hold grudges, the grudge is like an anchor in your heart that drags you down to the bottom of the wharf. And you're stuck there, lamenting foolishly. There's nothing worth it in this world, I'm telling you. Just go back to Godhead, you know. Don't stick around here. Prabhupada said, a gentleman, he uses the toilet and he immediately comes out. So he's referring to the material world as the toilet. So don't keep reading a book in a toilet, you know. Oh, in some places they have a TV screen. God, what joy. So yeah, you know, try to, yeah, that's the reason why the gopis go through. To show others an example, at the same time to show that they will never give up Krishna. Okay? Alright? Yes, Prabhu.
Many times it is said that any one of the processes of mind, emotional services that you do, you can go back to God.
Yes.
And it's also said that only with prasad, you can go back to God.
Yeah, but you know, you can eat your way to God here, or you can chant your way to God. Pick your, choose and pick what you want. Yeah, but I think more than just eating prasad, one should do seva. Krishna consciousness is not just performing one activity alone. It's, for most of us, we need one or two to balance ourselves. If you just take prasad and not have the philosophy, then you will give up after a while. Yeah. So you need a few things. For most of us in Kali Yuga, we need all of them. But when it says one by itself can deliver you to Godhead, it's for those who are very, very good at it. You know? Yeah. But most of us, we are not so good. You know? We may chant nicely the first day, and then the next few days, we don't even fix our mind on it. You know? But you are right, we can fix our mind on taking prasadam. But then Prabhupada also said, if you overeat and indulge, you are as good as being lusty person. Yeah. So then you won't get the right fruit by overeating. Yeah. Even the Goswamis, they reduce their eating. Ultimately, you are supposed to reduce eating, mating, sleeping and descent. Okay? Ultimately, we have already given up a few things, only eating is there. So even then you have to cut out as you get older and older, eat just a little bit, and then become like Raghunath Das Goswami, one drop of Charanamrita, or pick any dried rice around the courtyard. Like that. Of course, not to that extent, but the consciousness should be like that. Not to overindulge in our activities. Alright, so I think it's getting late. Thank you very much for your kind attention. Oh, more questions from the young pandits. Yes.
You said that you said there is nothing worthy in this material world. But then, if there is nothing worthy in this material world, then why do the people get attracted to them if it's not worthy?
You are right. What is the question? The question is, if there is nothing worthy in this material world, why are people attracted to material things? Well, that goes back to the origin of the jiva. The jiva is tatastha shakti. Tatastha, you know what tatastha means? It means he's marginal. Being marginal, he has this tendency to be attracted to spiritual as well as matter. But you know, all of us here, we were attracted to the matter because we saw it glittering more favorably. So we came to the material world and we are attracted by material energy, which even though it's temporary, we don't have good intelligence to understand it's temporary. So Srila Prabhupada has come to give us good intelligence so that now we recognize it's not good. And therefore, I can say it's not good. Yeah. Yeah, so we should go and out there and tell people it's not good because it's temporary happiness like that. Okay? Yeah.
You said about the story of the Brahmana who could not read Bhagavad Gita. Yes. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, what are the means? How could he speak?
You can speak, right? He says, how can the Brahmana speak even though he doesn't study? Huh? Yeah. But he could speak, but he couldn't read and study. But because of his devotion, because he followed his guru's instruction faithfully, because he wanted to please his guru, the Lord from within his heart gave him intelligence. Tesam sagatam yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogantam yenamamakalantipa. So he gave him the intelligence to perform devotional service and experience pure love of Krishna. And then of course the Lord is speaking through him for all of us. Okay? Chandra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Jai.